Warning, mature rated content ahead. If you feel that you're easily offended by gratuitous amounts of expletives, cursing, and graphic representation of such expletives, please stop this podcast. You have been warned. A bunch of gamers, one channel, and tons of games. This must be Games and Me. This is The Soapbox, Episode 1 for December 11th, 2008. Cranky Video Game Nerds. The views and ideas expressed by the guests of The Soapbox do not reflect the intentions of the organizations they represent. Let me introduce the guests today. So, we have Johan, who is actually the host. Are you the host of GeekRoundTable.com?
I'm one of the panelists for GeekRoundTable.com and also for a beginner's guide to Comic-Con for Comic-Con International.
Yeah, because to be honest, I haven't been to Comic-Con at all. So
it's a lot of fun, especially because a lot of people think it only has to do with Comic-Con. Now we're actually starting to branch into inviting competitive gaming professionals.
Yeah, I've seen like Blizzard, like, and their presence there. I think not necessarily Blizzard. I think I've seen other companies, like, you know, approach Comic-Con with their games as well. And yeah. Of course, there's that thing. I think it was this year, or was it this year or last year, that they had like this really huge event for like The Dark Knight, where you had like, you know, this kind of like almost alternate reality game that was happening and stuff. I forgot.
No, that wasn't this year, I think. Yeah. I don't remember seeing that. I know last year there was a lot of big advertisement for The Dark Knight that was just immensely amazing, and it was only at Comic-Con, so if you weren't there, you missed out.
Yeah, I did.
Well, but it was all viral, so that you had to go and find out, and you realize you're looking up The Dark Knight, and it was awesome.
Right, that's what I meant. Yeah, that was huge because like people online can participate also.
Yeah.
So, and then on the other line we have Christian. Hey, what's up, Christian?
How you doing?
Pretty good. What have you been up to as of late?
Just nothing.
You finished Gears of War 2, right?
Finished Gears of War 2. Yep. Co-op.
When did that game come out?
A couple weeks ago now?
Yeah, it was like in the beginning of November.
Right.
It came out at the same time as like Resistance 2, which I'm not even gonna talk about that right now because I can rant about that, how that game is, but
I heard at least the online for Gears of War 2 was a lot better than the first one.
Oh my god, yes.
Okay, well that's one positive note on that.
Yeah. Oh, Gears 2 is great, but you know we have some gripes about it, and we'll talk about that later. So. Anyways, let's go talk about like the first thing on our agenda today, which is what the F is happening to Nintendo. Oh wait, this is like an M-rated podcast. So what the fuck?
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Are we like, what's a rating when you said F? I was like, oh geez, I gotta censor myself on this.
No,
that's
hell no.
Really hard
about
to
how
do.
Much we hate certain things, and we're like, well, the fruity fluff is.
No, this is not that kind of podcast. Okay. We're not like those hippies from the Review Club podcast. No.
Yeah. All right.
So you want to introduce?
Yeah, seriously. Let's get into that. Like, what the fuck is up with Nintendo? Like, I remember two years ago when I got my Wii, because someone was holding it for me at Best Buy, and I was like the envy of people.
Yeah.
And then now I can't outload it on Craigslist because nobody wants it. Like,
serious? Well, like, I thought that the demand was pretty high.
There's a ton of people of my work that can't get rid of their Wiis.
Oh,
I thought the demand was still there. I thought people still, maybe non-gamers, still want one.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, the ones that do want them are still families, you know, because they want the family-oriented games and whatnot, get them together and, you know, happy-feeling moment. But the thing is they aren't the people that go through Craigslist.
Right.
Right.
They're the people that go to GameStop and get the used one.
That's
Now,
right.
the smart ones like us aren't going to go to GameStop because that's where we'll get screwed over on the value of it.
Yeah, it'll give us like $50 for
Yeah,
like,
they're like,
yeah.
you know, here you have a brand new Wii, it's still in its box. Here's a quarter. And you're like,
Yeah.
no, but it's still in the box. Yeah, but it's a Wii. You're
It's
right.
used.
You're right. It is the Wii. Sorry. How about I give you $5 to take it from?
Oh, that's terrible.
And
Yeah,
yeah, no, but like they're advertising their big, like, okay, they're advertising Wii Fit recently. Have you seen the commercial for that?
Yeah, I just got Wii Fit recently, actually.
Granted, it's fun. There's parts of it that I hate. I'll get into that. But they're advertising it right now because it was a good selling unit for them, right?
Right.
When did it come out? It came out like at least 4
May.
months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? We should release this game, and it comes with its own empty well.
Yeah, 'cause it's kind of funny actually because I was at a GameStop and you know, it dawned on me that Animal Crossing, which
Oh,
just came out
God.
recently, is not going to be the holiday hit that
No.
Nintendo wants. It's going to be Wii Fit. And so the guy basically just sells a Wii Fit to another guy, and I was like, "Did you just sell him a Wii Fit?" And he's like, "Yeah, we have some." I'm like, "All right, I'm getting one." I mean, I've been trying. It's not like I was obsessing about the game. I mean, you don't obsess over Nintendo products anymore.
No.
But, you know, but this game, it's like it's a rarity, so I had to get it. In fact, my friend who actually came with me to the GameStop, he actually bought one because he wants to sell his on eBay for 160 bucks.
Smart man.
Yeah. So it's like the rarest thing ever. So, I'm kind of like, well, all right. But it was kind of like, you know, like almost at two ends here. One part of me wants to open it, one part of me wants to resell it on eBay, because I was thinking, man, that's $70 more than what I'll have like when I first paid for the game. But I was like, you know what, I have enough money to get this, so you know, I tried
Maybe
it
it's
out.
not selling because they realize they're offending people with the BMI scale.
Yeah, I mean,
It pissed me off. It pissed me off.
Did you hear that story in, I think it was in Europe, that there's this like really super thin like teenager like who got weighed on the Wii Fit, and then her BMI levels are like that tell her that she was obese or something like that.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think it
that
was a
happened to
little
me.
girl, right?
Yeah, it was a little girl.
They said that she was sad because the game called her fat or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because okay, not to like like, hey, look at me, this is me. I'm 5'5", my waistline is 30. I play hockey constantly, so I weigh 160, and it had me borderline obese.
Well, it's a good thing you're only borderline obese.
Yeah, I know,
Like,
and I was just like,
you don't want to know where I am.
but the thing was like, I'm looking at like I'm looking at me. I can see a reflection of me on the TV. I can see me as a me on there. And I'm like, no, that is not me. And then it goes to like the trainer, and he's like, you know what? You're a little fat. And I'm like looking at the trainer. I'm going, I'm the same size as you. You're a son of a bitch.
Yeah, because Christian, you know what happens is that depending on your actual your weight and stuff, it's going to adjust your me to
Oh,
that
really?
size. Yeah. So if
Oh.
you're like, so imagine that little girl when she made her me and stuff, and she had like no concept of weight whatsoever, and then she saw like, you know, as the Wii Fit judged her for her weight, and she
Yeah.
started growing her waist. Like, it's
That's
ridiculous.
hilarious. You upload your me that looks like you. So my guy was
Yeah.
so mine was skinny, and then it's like, now step on the weighing scale, fatty. And I stepped on it, and it's like dumpy. And I'm like, oh,
Oh. Now
the...
does it change your actual me that's like,
your
or is it just
avatar,
the one in the game?
just the one in the game. I
Oh,
haven't
thank
looked at
God.
it. Like I've been so upset with it, and it's like, I've done like the 80 sit-ups, and it's like you're still dumpy. And I'm like, there's no pleasing you.
Jeez,
You are a
that's
rich
from
man. Leave me alone. I don't. You're.
It's somewhere like in his like little garden. Shigeru Miyamoto's like giggling, like
Yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff.
it's like you're on the verge of breaking up with me, aren't you? You just call me fat now, so I leave you. You just don't want you want me to break up with you so you don't feel guilty if me leaving,
Yeah.
right? That's what it
That's
is. Okay.
that's what I feel about Nintendo right now, is
Yeah,
I
no.
feel I want to break up with them.
Yeah, they want you to leave instead of them saying, "You know what? We made a bad product."
Yeah. Oh, it's so terrible. Like
That's
the
a
have you
horrible analogy.
Yeah, it is. But there's a But there's a there's also this news article that came up this week where this this magazine called N Generation Magazine, basically they stopped their circulation because the and the and they even had like this long letter. It's almost like a breakup letter, like what we just mentioned. It was almost like to Nintendo, when you start catering to like hardcore gamers again, let us know so we can, you know, sell more magazines or something to that effect. It
Yeah.
was so sad because like
Wow.
this has been around for so long, and you know now they don't have a business because Nintendo decides to shun all the hardcore gamers they've served throughout the years. But
Because no, I'll let you finish and then I'll jump in.
no, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay, because there was also a recent interview between Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. Whether or not the economy is affecting the video game community.
Right.
Now, Sony and Microsoft said, of course it does. Games are expensive, and you know, it makes it harder to buy it. And
Right.
then Nintendo said, no. Families want to buy games because it's cheaper than going out and watching a movie. Because you can spend $60 on dinner and a movie with your family that'll last 3, 4 hours. Where in
Right.
turn you can spend that $60 on a game that could last hours and weekends and months. Taking that Nintendo was on the verge of like, you know, on that, hey, now we can take the market of the family-oriented games.
Right.
So they released shit like Wii Music, like it's gonna appeal to those people. So now you just double fucked yourself on like hardcore gamers and families that like, you know, it'd be interesting to look like morons in front of our children, let alone teenagers.
Yeah.
Let's see if they'll join in. No, they're gonna ask for $20 to leave.
Yeah. It really sucks.
Yeah, like I understand like their concept, but like that they were gonna appeal to the family because they realize, you know, with this economy, families are gonna wanna stay in.
Yeah.
But then
Yeah.
you missed completely on the mark. Like you knew the game you were playing. You saw the bullseye target, but you hit the
Yeah.
guy playing pool.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, there is one thing that the Wii is kind of doing right, and that is having people over, you know, together in one place and kind of like encouraging this kind of gameplay where you're playing with them while you're right next to each other.
Oh yeah. That's the one thing Nintendo's always done right as party games.
I mean, not necessarily. I wouldn't call Left 4 Dead a party game, but you know, as an
Oh, but it's
example,
fun.
yeah, it is. But anyway, so I mean, you know, as an example, Left 4 Dead, right? You know, it came out for the PC, PS. I mean, not PS3,
Just
but
360.
360. Yeah.
Which is
So
like one of the
we.
things I want to get a 360 for, because shooting zombies is That is
Oh
just that
yeah.
needs to be passed down from generation to generation. That is a
Yeah.
family moment.
Yeah, Robo Jimmy, who was like our guest, like, you know, for that episode, like he was like telling me that you know, it should be like kind of like almost a family heirloom because, you know, once zombies attack, man, you don't want to be effed over, you know, you don't want to be fucked over by zombies
Right,
if
yeah.
you don't play
Yeah.
that game.
Well, there's
This
also
will be like
survival
a
skills, you
training.
know. Like
Yeah.
I'll give it Left 4 Dead, like the amazing of Left 4 Dead, like what it is. I read up a ton about it. I only got to play a little bit of it, and it was a lot of fun because it had zombies. So like, you know, immediately I'm like, zombies? This sounds like something I should buy 20 of. And then like you know, for me and zombies is great, but I gotta say that when it came to a zombie idea, that you know, one thing that blew me away was World at War. The Call of Duty was shooting Nazi zombies. That is just like that. Like, okay, shooting Nazis, great. Love the idea. If there's anything that nerds like us, like geeks and people in school got that have that nerd rage bottled up, is shooting the epitome of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed quarterback as the super soldier. Then you turn him into a zombie? Oh
Yeah.
dear God, that is blowjob in a CD. Like that, like you just bought this CD and it's like, oh, this thing is just blowing me and I love it. It's giving me what I want. Shooting, the epitome of what I hated in high school, and zombies.
Yeah, Jesus. But yeah, it's a pretty good game. But let's get back on topic here, because we're talking about Nintendo.
Yeah.
What, well, Nintendo and zombies?
We've been talking about stuff that they missed out on, right?
Right.
But didn't they, didn't they get House of Dead, like, license?
House of Dead, it's basically like a remake of, like, I guess, you know, part three, and then I guess both, you know, the other two games, I guess. I really don't give a shit. Mm. But,
it's fun to play with two players, I'll say that. At least they came out with a zapper that works for it.
Yeah.
Because it would suck to shoot the Wii trigger that much because of the angle you have to have your wrist at.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So at least they did it right, but I wouldn't say the crossbow one that they released, like, as their own
the
first
zapper.
Party is what was recommended. But the one that was released by Nerf is better.
Right. Well, it's kind of funny. Like, going back to the Left 4 Dead thing, so I can finish that off. Like, you know, Microsoft is kind of, like, almost migrated everybody into their own, like, you know, apartments and stuff and have their own 360s. And I think that's one of the bad things that I don't like about the Xbox 360 specifically is that they, you know, like, as an example, like, Left 4 Dead, like, it was... I have a huge TV. I have a 52-inch TV. And one of the reasons why I bought it, because I was like thinking, oh man, wouldn't it be great if I can play like 4-player Left 4 Dead on my Xbox 360? But you can't even do that, you know? I mean, it's probably some sort of like, you know, engine issue and stuff like that, but Halo was able to do that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, like, my friend, you know, we always record, like, you know, the review club and Twee Game, like, every Sunday. And all my friends, like, come over to do that kind of stuff. And we all wanted to be, you know, each of the people in Left 4 Dead. But we couldn't do that. And, you know, if there's anything, like, I think Microsoft is trying to play catch-up with what they lost because they thought that every single person was going to buy a 360. Every single person's not going to want to interact with each other. And that's just bullshit because, you know, obviously that's the reason why the Wii's, like, really popular. That's also the reason why Rock Band and Rock Band 2 and Guitar Hero is popular.
Yeah.
People want to play together and in the same freaking place, you know?
I actually didn't realize you couldn't do that in Left 4 Dead. I thought that you could play 4-player split screen.
Yeah, only 2-player split
screen. Wow.
Yeah.
But you,
and it, the,
so
yeah,
to
go
be
ahead.
Honest about that, like sometimes those 4-player split screens can get a little convoluted.
Yeah.
The only one I think that pulled it off well was GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Which is like by far the best first-person shooter game ever released. And it's also on Nintendo, and it's still the best, like, first-person shooter party game for me.
Right.
But then when you're playing a game like Left 4 Dead, where there's things coming out at you on every angle, like, mm-hmm. four-person split-screen can be a little too crowded.
Well, yeah, but it's nice to have the option, you know? They could have
right.
put it in there, and if you don't want to do it, you can go play online,
I guess
you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
It again, Halo
there,
has
might have been
this.
There like, yes, you can play with someone else, but there you can play with four people if they also have a 360, so get your friend to buy one.
Yeah, basically the only option, the only local multiplayer option we can do so that we can have 4-player gameplay locally is if we had 4 Xbox 360s, 4 HD TVs or regular TVs and 4 copies of Left 4 Dead. I'm like, okay,
that's within
how
budgets.
Much Yeah, that's within our budget. I mean, considering that we don't get ad revenue yet. Okay, fine. You know, but yeah, I think, you know, if I think it's pretty clear that Nintendo's just kind of like shunned everybody and stuff in term like everybody meaning like hardcore gamers and that's really really sad.
Yeah, have they
I mean,
even like really had anything that could be played with people that aren't in your home? Because they tried to do it with Smash Brothers and, like, the delay.
Oh, yeah.
To a degree, it's Animal Crossing and Mario Kart, I mean.
Yeah. I think they're afraid of the online gaming.
It's Animal Crossing, really? Like, okay,
it's the
I'll
same
be honest,
game.
I played it. I played the GameCube version, and I got it for the DS. Both mistakes, because first off, you have to sell your soul to play that game, because it progresses without you quickly. Like you could own a house and weeds don't grow as fast as that game does, and you're in a town where you're the only one that can upkeep it. That's
Yeah, you got a stupid like mortgage from like some stupid raccoon living in his own house. I'm like, dude, you know, how much do I owe you? Man, talk about, you know, like I think Tom Nook needs probably like a bailout plan or something like that. I hope his economy crashes down.
Yeah. And then it's like, I left because you didn't talk to me. You're in a fucking town, loser. There's so many other people you could talk to. Why did it have to come down to me and you send me this guilt trip letter?
Yeah, it's really sad. I don't like the game at all. It was like, you know, I don't know. It's as far as hardcore as you can possibly be. But at the same time, I guess the argument could be said also that it is a hardcore game because you have to do chores every day. But it's the most boring freaking thing we
It's
can ever
just
do
it's
in a
not my
video
cup
game.
of tea. It's just not
Yeah,
my
you know,
tea.
that's like the next best thing to like kids. They're trying to get out chores to do chores, and their parents are saying like, "Why don't you do the dishes?" But I gotta do them in this game.
That's a good excuse. I take that. If I had that, I'd probably use it.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do dishes for real because I have to do them in this game, or else the game progresses without me and my neighbors leave.
Right, so let's move on to our next topic. So do you want to start off the next segment by talking about like what happened to you
Oh,
today, Jan?
God. All right. So, as much as I love comic books, like I love comic books. Comic books are the greatest thing, and Batman beats the crap out of everybody. I don't care who it is. He could come into Gears of War, and guess what? It would never have a part two because he would have ended it on number one. Batman is that badass. All right.
Okay.
And then I love video games. Right. That is
Okay. Right.
great. That is good stuff. It's why I'm doing this podcast with you guys, because I like video games too.
Right.
Now, DC versus Mortal Kombat, good God, was that the most horrible idea ever to exist in the place of the earth? Midway has not made anything good with this franchise since it went. It for me, it deterred me from Midway ever since Sub-Zero Adventures.
Oh
Anybody
God!
remember
Oh, I
that?
remember
Do
that.
I
Yeah,
gotta
I
bring
played
that
through
up?
that
Like
game.
how bad of an idea that Midway doesn't come up with the best ideas? Do you
Oh.
guys know the concept of like the storyline of DC versus MK?
Actually, no.
Vaguely, but
Do you know any comic book continuity?
well, just explain it to us
Okay.
in case people listening are haven't, you know,
Okay.
heard of it.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna ask that next. Do you guys care about spoiler alerts? Because we don't on Geek Roundtable.
Let's try to keep this within like the realm of like spoiler free, I guess.
Okay, well,
Good
in
luck.
the comic book in the com DC comic book world, there
Okay.
was a comic book line that came out in the 80s called Crisis on Infinite Earths, where there was multiple different Earths, and the very ending of that thing was they merged Earth 1 through 6 or whatever and put them together, which is why in DC there are two different Green Lanterns because one of them came from Earth 2 and the other one is from Earth 1.
Okay.
And there's
Okay.
different flashes, and it's where Shazam and Superman come into the same world at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. Now they decide to do this, and that idea was horrible to begin with on DC. Like, it was like, what? That's your answer to it? Ugh. And I bought all the issues that led up to this ending. Ugh. Never seen that money again. So, and Midway decides to have this idea that, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna merge the worlds of DC and Mortal Kombat. Yeah. The one thing that pissed off everybody on the recent Final Crisis line, which did come out and it took a year to cover up, because they did Countdown to Crisis, which was like about 12 issues. Then you had Final Crisis, and it ended with worlds being collided because it went to an interplanetary level and a magical level. And then now you're going to do the same concept with, like, now the world of Mortal Kombat is merged with DC. Who decided to come up with this storyline? Let's take something that pissed off a lot of people about DC. Let's try and charm them to our side by using that storyline that pissed off everybody over there.
Yeah.
That's
I'm not
gonna get my money.
I just think that maybe if you're a comic book fan, that might piss you off, but maybe your casual, you know, retard out there would just think, "Hey, that's cool. What a
Yeah, you're
ridiculous idea." It's almost like it's so ridiculous that
Yeah, we call them the
it just might
mundanes.
work.
The mundanes, the muggles, you know, they haven't had the magic.
Yeah,
Oh, God.
I'm kind of I'm kind of on the other side a little bit. Like, I thought, like, look at Marvel versus Capcom. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Okay, no, but that one was different. You don't want to know why? You want to know why that makes a completely different story? They gave me Mega Man, right? And they said, here's Mega Man, and it's in a fighting game. Well, that's retarded. He gets to fight Ryu. What? That doesn't even match up. They can both do the same thing. Well, that's not fair. You can put them on the same team. Oh, God. No way. That is great. Why did they do that?
And then
you have to say, well, how did they merge together? Guess what? There is no backstory. You just fight. Well, fucking Christ, I love that idea.
That's very true. It is a clusterfuck
there's
of story.
There's no story. You just got from match 1 to match 10. You fought Apocalypse, Onslaught, whoever was at the end. You put your name on the end credits, and Capcom says, and the final credit, you the gamer, or you the gamer, like they always do. Like, the final credit is to you, and you're like, hey, look, they gave me credit, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel good about yourself, right?
Yeah. And you know what? You were done. That was your story. You played the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And in this one, they're like, even if it went to the mundanes like Mortal Kombat for specific reasons. One of them's the fatalities. That's the biggest draw they've ever had since MK1.
Yeah, that's pretty much like the selling point of every single Mortal Kombat is like let's make this clear, the R-rated fatalities, not like this PG-13 bullshit in this game.
So when it first got brought to me, like to my attention, first thing I thought was, why would any hero in DC do a fatality? Superman's such a pussy, he doesn't beat Batman. No, it's gone through many levels. Superman cannot beat Batman. Batman's beaten him on every different level. It's in stone. Batman's beaten Superman more times than Superman's landed a punch on him.
Oh,
well,
God,
he can't,
pathetic.
Because if he did, Batman's head would explode. So,
no, Batman has many... Batman, okay, this is... In any versus situation, you do not include Batman in the versus because Batman does not show up to a fight he can't win.
Right.
Mm, it's true.
So if you say Batman versus Superman, Batman wins.
That's very true. I mean, I can see where that happens. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a comic book guy, but I can see how that can work out.
You can also take the storyline the Hush storyline, which was written by Jeff Loeb and drawn by Jim Lee. Jim Lee doing the DC Universe MMORPG that's coming out on PC.
Yeah.
And
PS3, actually.
Is it also on PS3?
Yeah.
Good for them. There had to be a reason why I got the PS3 Bluetooth. So, Superman is entranced by Poison Ivy's hypnotic kiss.
Okay.
So Superman's under the whim of Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy says, Superman kill Batman. Guess who wins that fight? Batman. So you've taken the point where Superman is under no inhibitions for, like, I'm going to punch my friend in the face and still loses.
Right.
And that is like one instance of like where it should end. Like, Batman beats Superman in this, but it doesn't. Batman's beat him on many levels. But you know what? Batman's never killed him. Superman's never been able to kill anybody. Superman's had a chance to kill Doomsday, and he doesn't. And Doomsday killed Superman. So none of the heroes kill. So why would you introduce him to a game where the biggest thing is fatalities?
Yeah, that's one thing that bothered me, like with this crossover, because, you know, again, like what you said earlier, Mortal Kombat is well known for ripping people's spines out, beheading them and stuff. So it doesn't make any sense to me that they would really merge these two worlds, even if, like, all the fatalities, you know, are, you know, PG-13 type fatalities, because the Mortal Kombat series is known for, like, the ridiculous gore. You know, and, like, how many number of ribs, like, pop out of, like, the enemies that you, like, just destroy with your fatalities.
That was already retarded on MK2 where you'd see 3 rib cages.
Yeah.
But then...
Well, speaking of retarded, though, they, you know, speaking of MK3, like, MK3 had, like, the stupidest fatalities
ever. Yeah, they were
ridiculous. And then they brought one of the most retarded Fatality's back, and that's Liu Kang's like MK1 arcade dropping on like their enemies. I mean, what the hell?
And the Babalities and the friendships.
Babalities were funny to do them when you play it, when they were first introduced, and you, instead of doing a fatality on someone, you humiliated more by turning them into a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Mortal Kombat 2 is still the top tier of all Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah, I will agree with that because I love playing Baraka.
Yeah. He was really powerful in that.
Yeah,
it was super cheap, but I didn't mind it because
game. He had his blast, but that thing was weak as hell.
Yeah.
Which balanced him.
Yeah.
But then, to the defense of DC versus MK was the bad guys of DC do have fatalities, as I've understood. Joker cannot go without a fatality. I'm sorry. If he was not given a fatality, fuck Midway.
Well, the problem is, though, that they censored the fatality.
Yeah, they
brought it down
version.
To DC level.
Yeah.
Like I said, why? Rockstar has fought so hard for that M rating. They've fought tooth and nail for that M rating. You know what? They're pioneers. They've given us the M rating. They really did with the first GTA.
Right.
I remember buying my first copy that didn't have one. And then the next few, because I bought it from Blockbuster, so it's like one of those previously rented games.
Right.
I was actually carded for buying it because then the notice finally came up, and that was the first time they've ever seen it. They're like, but it's a video game, so we'll sell it to them anyways. I wasn't 17 at the time, so I got it. And then like later on, they had the 17 ratings on it. So, you know, Rockstar has fought tooth and nail for video gamers to have the M rating. So everybody out there that gets to have their gore and whatnot, you know, you do have to tip your hat towards Rockstar for doing this.
Right. Christian, you were going to say something?
I forgot what I was going to say. I was just saying that, you know, they kept it true. You know, they gave the villains their fatalities. The people that wouldn't do fatalities, they didn't give them fatalities. And that just
they gave them brutalities.
That makes sense, you know? Yeah. Brutalities, is that what they're called?
Yeah, like, well, what's the official name for it? Like, heroic brutalities.
Even
the villains
had
heroic brutalities.
That is the word for it.
Yeah. Oh, no. The villains actually had fatalities. Sorry about that.
But then the heroes have their brutalities.
It would just be more out of character if they had tried to put the fatalities, you know, make Superman perform a fatality. That would just be even more ridiculous. So
you know, that's, Superman I think could have had a fatality somewhat if they really wanted to dig deep on comic book continuity. If anybody read, if anybody saw Justice League Unlimited where the Justice Lords came in, Superman decides on his own accord that they would eliminate the threat but not kill him by basically using his heat vision to lobotomize the villains.
Whoa.
So they're not dead, but then they no longer are kind of brain functional to want to kill and be homicidal.
Wow.
See, but you're going too far into the comic book lore.
Yeah,
and I think
that's why I think they could have had it. They could have had it.
I think the game is not supposed to be taken that seriously. I think the game is like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Mortal Kombat guys fought DC guys? Let's throw a story together and make it happen. And,
that is true, but
you know,
but I think though, like, because they contextualized this in this particular manner, where they are really being serious about the storyline and stuff. And let's face it, Street Fighter doesn't even have that much of a story. I mean,
that's what
really
makes it great.
Like, so you think the fact that they tried to put a story is what makes it bad? Like, if they shouldn't have tried at all?
Yeah, there's certain things that
it would have been better.
There's certain things that you can explain and it makes it worthwhile, and there's certain things that are not worth explaining, and you don't, and it makes it better that it just showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like take Mars Attacks, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird tangent, but,
that was a horrible movie.
That movie, yeah. But all the characters in that movie had absolutely nothing to do with each other. They didn't give you a real big history on them. Just all of a sudden, these people are here in this worldwide event, and we're just going to follow them.
Mm.
And eventually, they either die or make it to the end. Was there any real story behind any of these characters that led them to like the path that they led? No.
Not really.
Did it make the movie better that there was no real backline to it? Who knows, but it was really not worth explaining.
Right.
And
Because it was
that's a
just
thing that they
ridiculous.
shouldn't do. It's just like if they just introduce DC characters to the Mortal Kombat world, guess what? They're fighting together. Does that sound a little bit more appealing than there was a story behind why they're together and why heroes are only doing brutalities and
See, I totally agree because the thing is that when they try to justify Mortal Kombat, imagine this: they were trying to justify Mortal Kombat Armageddon, and you know that that's like the crazy game where they basically pulled every single Mortal Kombat character out of their
yeah.
asses and then put it in a game, and they justified with it a story. I'm like, why? It was so cool that you didn't need to have that. Shao Kahn could have been the last guy, and I would have accepted it. That would have been
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, like even
But
Street Fighter versus X-Men had a like just that little minuscule ending at the very end, just like, oh, I finally defeated this and now the world is safe, right? Then you got Marvel versus Capcom 2. Where was the story in that? None. They threw everything at you and you played the damn game.
And you kind of just accepted it and stuff. Yeah,
No,
that's
it's not
true.
that you accepted it. You loved it. You loved that there was no
Oh,
story.
yeah,
It
that's what I
just
mean.
went from round to round. Even if you played it at home, like you could have played story mode and you know what had happened? You got points at the end to buy more stuff.
That
And
was
that
the
was story
incentive.
mode. That was story mode. They gave you points to buy stuff at the end.
it's very
That
true.
is the best story ever. The very end is here's some money. You know what? This is the best story ever. I reached A to B and you gave me something.
Yeah, now go unlock all the 40 other characters.
Yeah, and it made it worthwhile to play story mode again.
That's true.
That's why
That's pretty
this
funny.
is one of those instances where you didn't need a story and they did it anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this just Mortal Kombat in general is just kind of it's kind of funny too because like Ed Boon basically said that, "Oh man, we're gonna really advance the lore in Mortal Kombat history now." And
Oh.
to be honest, if this is it, I mean, that's like
Well,
abuse.
yeah,
Well,
I
have you
disagree with
seen a
that.
collector's edition of this game?
No.
It comes with its own stick and dead horse.
Oh my God. Oh
Like
well.
this, I don't know why. Midway has a history of just beating their best games to the dirt.
Yeah, I mean they didn't they I also heard they just recently lost the Ready to Rumble franchise. I think Atari has it now.
Oh no. There goes their cash horse.
Yeah, I know.
No,
So
but
much for that.
okay, I just pulled up the Wikipedia page of Midway, and here's a list of some of the games that do have quadruples, because that's as far as they go.
Okay.
The Cruisin' series.
Didn't they make a one frequent like just recently or
Yeah, there's
something?
the there was a Cruisin' Tour that came up first, right? Then they had
Right.
USA. Then they had Exotica, which had like Lamborghinis and whatnot that still moved the same speed, and then the
Right.
world, and then like they even had like space and underwater stages and whatnot. Which you know what, like once you reach space, that's the final frontier. You just don't. The next place you can go is back in time. And then like then they had Gauntlet. They've released many different franchises on that. That thing's been beaten to death. Then
Right.
Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam. You know, NBA Jam did not have a storyline, and how fun was that?
Yeah. Well, actually, what happened was that they revived the franchise technically in the form of NBA Ballers,
Yeah, I
which is
know.
kind of, yeah, it's basically the same idea, but now it has a storyline. And in terms of that, I didn't mind that it had a storyline, but again, it's pretty
Yeah,
ridiculous, you
but
know. You're like Shaq and you had like bling and all that while you're playing basketball or
But the thing
something.
is like okay, like that could be like, you know, whatever was changed on it. But when you're playing that game and you want to tell somebody about like, you know, the new NBA Jam game that you got, all you're talking
Yeah.
about is like, he's on fire. You know, that
Yeah.
like I'm dunking it from the other guy's free throw shot line.
Or playing as Bill Clinton.
Yes, yeah,
Yes.
see?
Yes.
Created your own Wolfman character and like he, you
Yeah.
know, you're like Michael J. Fox and Teen Wolf, and just dunking it from everywhere. You can do sliding dribbles, and it was awesome.
See,
Yeah.
ridiculousness has its place, man. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, but I think the argument just, you know, is just that the storyline was not needed. It's not welcome. And if the storyline wasn't there, it would have been an okay game.
Yeah,
okay.
It would have been worth renting or buying if there were two people in the house and you buy it so then the two of you can play a game that made no sense whatsoever. But you had characters that you were familiar with. Right. Now it had a storyline, and if you have two people in the house, you're never going to touch that story because you have two people in the house for doing it this purpose that it should have been intended for. It was just for two people to get together to play a fighting game and try and see who's better at it.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but in terms of fighting games, I don't really even care about the storyline.
Yeah,
the only,
it's there for the people who care about it, and if you don't give a shit, you just skip it and start
like,
playing.
Yeah, but okay,
you
yeah.
You say, look, Batman's punching Sub-Zero in the face. Awesome, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But then that's that's what I mean. Now imagine that person isn't in the room anymore, and you still want to play Mortal Kombat versus DC. Guess what? You got to struggle through this like the storyline that should not have been written.
Mm, that's true. Well, to me, like I'm very indifferent in terms of the storyline of Mortal Kombat series because I don't think they can dig a deeper hole than they've already dug for themselves after like Armageddon, and just having another Mortal Kombat game after Armageddon doesn't make sense to me anyway.
I thought everything already went downhill with the Sub-Zero's quest and like anything that was on that was trying to dig a tunnel to get out of that hole, and a tunnel kept caving in on itself.
Well, you know what, though? I enjoyed the storyline of Part 5, and I thought that was a pretty humble return to like what it was supposed to be. And some of the characters were pretty likable as well. But going back to this, I mean, again, I bought Soul Calibur 4, not caring about the storyline.
Right.
You know, I don't care about
the last... My X button cannot push fast enough to get through the...
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, bottom line is, fighting games... You can, you know, let's just throw away the storylines. Let's just enjoy, like, the balance between the characters and the combos and whatnot.
Yeah.
So
I think storylines for fighting games only qualify if it's the first of the franchise.
Right.
Because Street Fighter 2, you know, had Guile. You know, all these characters that were not in the first Street Fighter, because this first Street Fighter was, like, kind of, like, just Ryu and Ken.
Kind of like a beta test.
Yeah, basically it was. that people bought. That's what was horrible.
Yeah.
And then so you introduce like characters like Guile, Blanca, Chun-Li, and you had no idea who they were. Mm. And then you find out, you know, Blanca was an experiment or lost in the jungle, and Guile was like, you know, a marine, Chun-Li was a detective. Yeah. That made it interesting.
Yeah.
And then you release them on, you know, Marvel versus Capcom. You didn't need that storyline anymore. You're done.
Right.
You're good.
Right. Yep.
So
exactly.
It's only good if you're releasing it for a first franchise. Maybe you can release it for, expansion characters. Like, well, Smoke didn't even have a storyline, and how great was it to use him?
Yeah, that's
true. He appeared out of nowhere, and he had all the ninja's abilities, and you're like, I like this idea. This guy comes out of nowhere, and like,
it beats the crap out of you.
Like Noob Saibot, like how great was that? Did he have a story? No. Was he great to use? Yeah. Was it fun to fight him? Yeah. Was there a reason to fight him? No.
Okay, let's seal that conversation because this is like this is just way out of hand.
I'll just bottom line it. It's pointless to be made in the way they made it. It could have been made as a regular fighting game with absolutely no story, and they used characters that everybody knew, so why introduce a story?
Exactly. So, all right, so the last part of this, and Jesus, we're almost like, well, this is kind of like, you know, almost an hour on like GarageBand, but it's really going to be less than that because I did do some, you know, explanations in the beginning and stuff. But
if anybody has listened to Geek Roundtable, and hopefully after this some people will visit, so we have more than three people listening. our group, we tend to rant. We rant a lot. It's the geek rant. It's a nerd rant. So
no, it's totally.
I know I'm well guilty of it because I'm bringing it to the table.
Well, that's why you're here.
This is also apparently the last time Johan's going to be on this one because he ran.
Aww, no, dude. No. All right. So the last part of this is talking about how it was an epic fail, I guess, according to a lot of people. According to a lot of people in the forums, let's make this clear, that, you know, the Gears of War 2's ending, last few levels were just not up to par with the rest of the game. And here's why. Then this is going to be filled with spoilers, all right? Spoiler. Because this is obviously going to be part of, you know, like, we're going to be talking about the ending, duh. Yeah.
If it's being talked about everywhere, you might as well talk about, like, everybody that's going to listen to it is people that posted it. So just go ahead.
Right.
Anyone who's going to play it has played it probably already, so.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah.
If not, turn off this podcast and finish the game and then come back to the podcast. How's that?
Yeah, you know, just go ahead and spoil away. If they hear it,
all right.
If they hear it after, okay. This disclaimer, you know what? Fuck them. That's their fault.
All right. So anyway, so the way this worked is that you fight this guy named Scourge, who basically has like a staff with like a chainsaw built in the end. I mean, how macho is that? And it's like one of the locusts and stuff. And it's basically this very epic battle that you have
how
to fight him with.
How balanced of a weapon is that?
Not only well, you
can
have
I
guns.
Poke you from a distance, but it's got a hooks and a chain attached to it.
A chainsaw.
Yeah, I know, that's why. But doesn't a chainsaw look like it have like, you know, like jagged teeth on it?
Probably.
Because I know the Lancer does.
Yeah,
probably.
It does.
Most likely. Oh, jeez. But yeah, so in any case, let me put this long story short. The point is that, you know, the game makes you go from cover to cover to cover to cover, kind of like what Cliff Bleszinski, the designer, calls a horizontal platformer. You move from cover to cover so you can get the best shot on your enemy. So that's understandable.
Yeah.
Now, they took that all away from you in the last battle. The last battle is basically you on a helicopter shooting at this Brumach, which is like one of these huge, like, you know, creature type things. And you don't have cover. You're basically stuck on a machine gun and you're just shooting at him.
Yeah.
You know? And not only that, a lot of people were saying how they didn't like the last battle with Scourge. Basically, the last battle with Scourge was this. You fight him in this kind of courtyard-looking thing inside this building, and then he bitches out, right, jumps on one of the flying Reavers, and then you do, like, a shooter-type level where you have to, like, kill him and stuff and all the other Reavers that are flying through the air. So that's nice and all. And to me, personally, I don't care about it. I actually liked it. But what's fascinating is that I talked to my friend this morning and I had the startling realization about what was really, you know, what Cliffy B was really trying to do. And I am reminded of the last part of the Gears of War 2 game. And that is basically you see like the Gears of War 2 logo with a black background with subtitles on the bottom, you know, talking, you know, with somebody talking. And I was like, oh my God. They are ripping off Metal Gear. You know, because think about it this way.
It's not called ripping off, it's called homage.
Okay, fine. But think about it this way. Score.
No,
you know,
you're selling it. It's a ripping off.
Oh, okay, whatever. Whatever the term is. But think about it this way. The last part of Metal Gear Solid 1 had you have a one-on-one fight with Liquid Snake atop, like, you know, Metal Gear Rex. And by God, if you have not finished Metal Gear Solid yet and you're screaming at the top of your lungs, spoiler alert, I don't give a shit. The game came out like in 1998. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
You should have finished the game by now. You had 10 years, okay?
You put in your PS memory card back in your PS3 and continue it.
Yeah, seriously, God. So anyway, so you had that part. It was totally epic, which was cool. And then you saw Liquid fall off the Metal Gear Rex. And it was so epic because they're like, yes, that was such a difficult fight. And then you were on your way out. You jump on a Jeep with Meryl or Otacon or whoever you had. And then, like, you see, like, you know, from the distance, like, you know, Liquid Snake, like, coming up, like, in a Jeep. And he's all bloodied and stuff. And he's, like, saying, brother! And I was like, holy shit, you know? And I guess this whole battle with Scourge was supposed to evoke that similar feeling that, oh my God, this guy's badass. But instead, what I felt was when I shot him down with my Reaver.
Oh my God, this guy's tedious.
Yeah, not only that, it was like, he's a pussy.
Yeah.
He's not badass at all, you know? And then, of course, the last part was just kind of like an extended version of the Jeep scene, you know? It's kind of like, oh, well, we don't have enough, like, of this retarded flying part. Let's add in this other last boss section where you basically can't take cover, or basically you're throwing away all the stuff that you've learned
before.
It
was like a big, long, slightly interactive cutscene, basically.
That's what people were saying.
And if you did nothing, or if you shot your gun, it wouldn't really have mattered much, you know? It was just there. It was just there for coolness' sake. And I'm okay with it.
Was there to cramp up your thumb on the shoot button? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or you can just basically, like, put your toe on the fire button, and that would be it. Be like, all right, you know, let me cook my, you know, meals here or something. Let me do something more fun.
How long
I guess.
Did this shoot fest go for?
Oh, God, like, I think 2 hours. Because it was, like, because I think the Scourge section is at the end of one section of the game. I think it's the end of Act 4.
Right.
And then you start Act 5, and then you had, like, the regular, you know, like, type Gears gameplay. And then you get to the end where you just have to, like, you know, just jump on the ship and then shoot the Brumach down. And I was like, okay. I mean, there was a cool part before that, which basically you had to control the Brumach that you were going to kill in the end. And that was pretty cool. Again, not within the realm of the gameplay. Now, the thing is that pisses me off is that the gameplay, you know, the game is sold as this almost hybrid platformer. And in some of the sections in the game, specifically the driving sections, driving the Brumach, I guess, and all the other Gears of War-y type sections, is that you are not doing what the game is trying to train you to do, and that is take cover and then shoot from cover and then move from cover to cover.
Right.
It's not doing that. It bugs the hell out of me.
I think it's okay because when they were making this game, they're all sitting around thinking, like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this? And they just went ahead and did it. And I'm okay with that. The only problem is that those gameplay sections were not as polished as the regular gameplay where you're actually taking cover, and so it felt a little awkward, but it was still cool.
It wasn't like polished as well as like the regular gameplay. Is that what you're saying?
Where you know you're taking cover and you're shooting and you're throwing grenades. They got all that figured out real good, but the second you jump on this flying creature, you don't know what the hell's going on. You think you can control it, but you really can't, you know. Mm-hmm. It was cool, but...
Okay, so this sounds like the creator or whatever, when he wanted to come up with these new horizontal platforms or whatever, went up to a game designer and goes, hey, it'd be awesome if you rode this giant beast and you gotta shoot it and you think you can control it and you can't. And the guy turns around to him and says...
No, it's not that.
He says, what? And then the guy turns back to him and goes, I pay you. You do it.
The Brumach you can control.
I don't think that was his intention.
It sounds like it.
But that's just the way that it turned out. I don't think they had the time to really...
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. It's like he showed up to these guys like post-production. And he's just like, you know what we should add in? We should add in this.
Yeah.
What? I pay you. You do it.
That's kind of true in a way, but to me, like,
I think outside the box.
The way that I see this game is kind of like, I don't know. Have you guys played like Devil May Cry 1?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Have you guys finished it?
No.
Oh my God! So I was telling Christian this earlier before the podcast. The way that you guys know Devil May Cry, you basically have a sword, you have infinite ammo for your guns, which is great, you know, like you do combos and stuff like that. Yeah. Guess, okay, without looking at Wikipedia, and Christian, you can't say anything about this because you already know. So, Johan, guess what the last section of Devil May Cry consists of.
Isn't it that thing, that Pandora's box weapon?
Yeah.
Is it that for, like, forever?
No.
That would suck, because that came up with many different guns, which was like, you come up with the final gun, you realize it produces many different guns, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what you'd think, right?
Oh, God, that's horrible. That's horrible now.
No, what the last boss turns out to be.
This game is apparently called Kill Johan's Puppies, like... sitting here playing with him, and you're like, you would be better if I squished him under my foot. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make it better. All right, so
No,
what
Devil May
happens?
Cry. Okay, Devil May Cry, the last boss is played as a shooter. As in a 3D shooter, like Star Fox.
You know, it's a great shooter like Star Fox. Star Fox.
Yeah, not Devil May Cry.
That is retarded. That
No.
is
So basically,
retarded.
at any point in the game, is there a section like that to prepare you for the last boss?
Absolutely not.
Hey, here, kid. Here's this great game. You having fun? Yeah. All right, get to this part where it's nothing like the game. You liking it? No. It's yours now.
Man, yeah, I spent like about a year to try to beat that game, and I got to the very end. I'm like, "What the fuck is this? It's like a shooter
Was that
section."
were the controls to it in the menu the manual?
No, not at all.
So
It's just a
was it even
surprise.
in the back of the video game? Like in the
Oh
back?
hell no!
So it
It was like surprise. Like we're changing the genre now.
that
What?
is like a guy getting a dick in a box from another guy. You think it's a present, but no, it's a penis. This sucks.
Oh.
It's nothing
Dude,
like you thought it
it's
was going to be, and then they're like, surprise, it's my cock.
see it's not as bad as, you know, it's not as bad as Devil May Cry, you know, at all, but the thing is, like, in Gears 2, it's like you're expecting them to perfect what you're going to be using in the multiplayer, because let's be honest, Gears of War is made for the multiplayer. I mean, the hordes and hordes, no pun intended, of people playing horde mode on Gears of War 2 is proof positive of
Yeah.
that. Now, you know, it doesn't help me to make my skills better if you're gonna shove me into these sections which have absolutely nothing to do with the normal gameplay of the game. It's kind of like playing a Mario game, and then the last boss is like you playing like NBA Jam with Bowser.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Why would
Yeah.
you
It's like
do
playing
that?
like
Well,
Mario 64. You found the way how to make your jumps creative, and at the very end, you're set up next to Toad, Princess, and Luigi, and you're facing Koopa. And then all of a sudden, it says fight, run, or item, and you're like, why is this Final
it's
Fantasy
like an
all of a sudden?
RPG. Yeah. Well, I think it's good to break up the gameplay a little bit. It's cool to throw in a driving section, you know, but
Let's recontextualize this
Yeah,
then.
but like.
Let's recontextualize this in a different game, a more recent. Well, it can't be any more recent than Gears 2, but this is a little bit more recent because it came out about a week or two after that. Sonic Unleashed, okay? You guys know, of course, that Sonic runs really, really
Yeah.
fast, right? I have no complaints about Sonic Unleashed, except for the fact that you're forced to play the levels where you are forced to play as Were Sonic. What the fuck? They're good, mind you. They're pretty good sections. They're exactly God of War, but I want to play as Sonic. I want to play him all the way through the entire game. So it's almost that feeling, you
You
know?
know, it was a but like as much as I love Sonic and the entire idea of Sonic, like especially if you played the Sonic on the Dreamcast version where you got the KO,
Right.
which was
Yeah.
fun as hell. Like that made that little memory card that you had worthwhile.
Yeah, the VMU, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, I'll give it that Dreamcast was too far ahead of its time, and it
Yes, it is.
sucks because that was a great system and I loved it. But the one thing I did not like about Sonic that I thought was so tedious was some of the you hit the spring that shoots you, and
Right.
what was the point of that long level? Because you just start shooting through and picking up rings. You didn't even know if you missed two,
Yeah.
and then like you missed it all. And then at least like when Knuckles got introduced and you start climbing other things and you had to find all these extra
Right.
rings, that it gave you the option of not running around like a spaz.
Yeah.
That like this was the ADD of video games. Like they didn't even pay attention to the level at the end of the thing. It was just like, just reach the end, all right, we're done. But
Right.
then by adding the werewolf element, it added a little bit of that. Here's Sonic, but here's an element that you might care about. You
Right.
don't have to run through the level like you always do. You can actually take your time and beat the crap out of stuff in a way Sonic never did. It felt like being Sonic in Dr. Robotnik's machines. Like, you see him with these giant machines that smash the hell out of the level and leave you standing on a little platform surrounded by lava. But now you get to be the little, the big machine that smashes the hell out of levels, leaving things in a platform of lava. And you know what? Good for them.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I mean, is that, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm just kind of arguing, like, both, trying to argue both points here.
Yeah.
And I agree with Christian that, you know, some sort of breakup of the you know, like, the gameplay is necessary, because again, like what you said, you know, if you're running really, 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 really fast the entire game, you can kind of get tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, a good way to keep people playing the game is if you kind of change it up slightly. But, you know, the argument that people had was just like, I think it's changing it up too much, because it would be nice if it's in addition to what you already have. So, like, if you had a cover system and you were, like, maybe, like, on a ship or something. Like, you know, the section with the Broomach or something like that. If the Broomach shot missiles through, like, the helicopter, you know, and it would, like, go through, like, the passenger side and stuff. And maybe it would, like, instantaneously kill you. I would be okay with that. But if you can, like, take cover and stuff like that, shoot it, you know, while you're doing that. That would have been a much more interesting experience.
Or, like, if you're shooting it and you're trying to stop all of its missile attacks, because then, like, eventually it's going to knock down your gunship. And if you shoot him more, then he has less life than when you have to actually take cover. Like, would be a better turn type of thing.
Yeah. Or you have to shoot his things out of the sky or before they hit you.
Yeah, and it makes him makes him a little bit easier when you do the running around for cover type of game afterwards.
Yeah, so basically, like, you know, the arguments of both sides are warranted. I mean, well, to me, like, it would probably been a much interesting game if they used the current mechanics and just added a little bit more to it. On the other hand, if, you know, if they stuck with whatever they have right now, then that's fine. If they wanted to rip off Metal Gear that badly, then that's fine with me.
Well, I'm just thinking that I think there's a place for the crazy coolness, you know, if they just want to add it just for coolness' sake. You know, the only thing they have to do is just polish it to the level of the rest of the game so that it doesn't feel that out of place. You know, that's all you got to do. So it doesn't feel like crap, you know. Like, with Metal Gear, you don't spend, you know, at any point in the game are you driving a Jeep mowing down guys with a machine gun. But when you get to that point, it doesn't feel bad. It doesn't feel like crap. It feels fun. It feels cool.
It feels gratifying. Yeah,
and it feels, yes, exactly. It feels gratifying. And in this game, you're just like, well, I'm just shooting this machine gun, and I can't tell if I'm hurting the boss. I don't know what I'm doing, you know?
That actually sounds really retarded, that even if you don't know what you're doing it right.
Actually, that's true. I think if I remember correctly, I didn't know if I was hurting it or not.
Yeah, you didn't know what the hell you were doing. You were just shooting the gun, like, hey, you know, this is cool, I guess. But, you know, I guess they'd rather I'd rather that they tried and try to put some cool stuff in there instead of having the whole game be the same thing. It might get tedious, you know.
You know what would have made it cooler? This is my own opinion, obviously, what I think would have made it cooler is the monster has many, many different tentacles that it, like, keep reforming like a Hydra. And on the end of every tentacle was a credit, like in Smash Brothers, and you just try and shoot the credits off.
That would be funny. You know, they actually, speaking of, like, epic boss battles, Gears of War 2 does have those epic boss battles. I mean, that's why I think it's also a matter of controlling expectation. If the entire game, specifically Gears of War 2, like, they were talking about, oh man, I'm gonna kick the crap out of the queen. You want to kick the crap out of the queen in the end, right? Like, imagine Metal Gear Solid as another analogy. If you got through the entire game and you never touched Liquid Snake, it's like, what? But he's your brother. He betrayed you, and then he's just like, so long, brother. I'm like, okay.
But then who would you kill in Gears 3?
Proto Man does that every game.
That's true.
And you know what? It just makes me go, like, come on. When's Proto Man coming? There's the whistle. Proto Man's coming.
Yeah. Proto Man's an asshole.
Yeah, but
he's a jerk.
He was cool.
He's a jerk.
Yeah. But yeah, so. But if you saw him, like a drawing of it, you're like, Proto Man. Yeah, I remember him. And I think I like Proto Man. It just sucks they never got to really use them. Except for that Mega Man Proto Man fighting game, which was pretty ridiculous.
What if they turned Mega Man into like a Gears of War type game? How do you guys would feel about that?
They turned Mega Man to an RPG, and I thought that was great. Oh my god,
that's pretty funny.
Mega Man Legends.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You just reminded me, Johan. We need to collect some residuals for Capcom for all those characters they used for like Mega Man 9. So if you remember, we had that huge notebook with all those robots that we drew. They freaking owe us some massive residuals. And if I remember correctly, we had like Trident Woman, which is basically, you know, Splash Woman. So.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Soapbox. Visit us at gamesand.me and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. On behalf of the entire crew, this is Alex bidding you happy gaming.